Episode 4, Family. This is the Dearly, Deeply Burdened podcast. Hello, friends, and welcome to episode 4 of the Dearly, Deeply Burdened podcast. I'm Miriam, your host, and I am so grateful that you are joining us for another episode. If you have listened to all of the episodes so far, I just want to say thank you for listening, but also for just your patience as we work through this first season and kind of our pilot time for this podcast. We do plan on doing more editing in the future, doing more preparation, but this is one of those things where we knew it was time to just start, and I'm really grateful for the friends who have stuck around for 4 episodes already. So today we're going to be talking about family. And the reason that we're talking about family is because as we discuss calling in the concept of our Christian walk and faith, we can't bypass the structure of family and the purpose of family within our walks and our lives. So in my role at Empty Frames Initiative, again, a nonprofit dedicated to empowering orphan and vulnerable youth as they transition out of state's care, I get to do a lot of really interesting but difficult work and collaboration with people in different spaces. One of the first big collaborations that I was privileged to be a part of was serving with a group that did anti-trafficking efforts. And for a long time, that just was showing up to meetings, being present, lending a hand for little projects, but it was still very new and exciting, even though it was a very heavy topic. And so I have the opportunity to talk to people about these situations every day. And as I said in the first episode, I have met a lot of people who want to do something. They really want to be involved. And this whole series is essentially being put together to help us collectively, intentionally do something, each of us, whatever it is that God calls us to do. But there have been a few standout conversations with people who want to do something, who feel burdened, that stick in my mind. And there's one in particular that really weighs on me. And it was a conversation that I had with a mom at my church. We were serving in nursery together and, you know, just making conversation, getting to hold babies, all the good stuff that happens on a Sunday morning. If you haven't served in your church's nursery, go do that. They need your help. but I was sitting there with her, and we were talking, and she just asked me, you know, what'd you do this week? And one of the work highlights of my week was going to one of these anti-trafficking meetings, because it's so interesting and so, to me, it was such a new, novel experience that I was really excited about it at the time. And so I told her that's what I did. And I was like, and what'd you do this week? And we were talking and, you know, we're holding these kids. And she's like, I did not go to an anti-trafficking meeting. And there was this sense of disappointment or longing. And this was a mom in our church, and she had multiple children, and I know that at some points that I did communicate this to people, but I was honestly like, I was in a position to feel jealous because she was living out my dream. She had little babies. They were so sweet. She's married. She's in this really good place. And she had this other feeling towards what I was doing. And she was like, I wish I was doing something similar. And I was looking at her and her kids, and I was just overwhelmed because I knew the stories that I was hearing at these meetings. I knew these kind of root causes were starting in the family, and I just wish I would have had the capacity to say, your role, when done well, makes my role irrelevant. We've talked about how there's this thread of thought throughout scripture to care for the orphaned and the widowed and the displaced. And in the context of scripture, these paradigms represent those without families. In our current culture, we still see the vulnerabilities faced by individuals who don't have a safe, supportive family. And even though people's ideas of family have evolved over generations and societies, whether or not you know, the big extended family or just the small family unit, and it fluctuates over time and needs and necessities, right? But we still see, regardless of whatever your culture's expectations are of a family, if your family is experiencing brokenness, everyone within it is impacted and made more vulnerable, but especially children. So the thing is, there's even more to it from what I've seen so often in scripture, because there's this illustration about our relationship to God as it connects to our earthly understanding of relationships. There's this very clear illustration of God as Father, and we're going to read a couple of verses that include that. So Isaiah 64:8 says, "But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are potter, and we are the work of your hand." Galatians 4:3-7 says, "Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has set forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, 'Abba, Father.' Therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." Romans 8 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, 'Abba, Father.' The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." The last one I'm going to read right now is 2 Corinthians 6:17-18, and it says, "Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." I have never encountered a stronger standalone testimony and witness than a family walking out their lives together for Christ. So I really wanted to pause before we get too much further into this series to encourage the parents, the moms, the dads, who are being beaten up by the enemy all the time, that they are not doing enough. And for the families that are experiencing brokenness within themselves, there is enormous hope and the ability for redemption through Christ. And that is your ministry. It is not... There is no expectation of you doing something outside of this immediate calling for your family. There's a novel by Charles Dickens, and it's called Bleak House. And a character introduced is talking about her work and giving to the community. She's doing like mission work, and she's so charitable, and she's doing all this stuff, and she's trying to essentially solicit one of the characters for money, is how I interpreted it. And then the reader is then introduced to her children, who are dirty and struggling and needy, and they're running around the house and nobody's caring for them. And you're confronted with this really sad juxtaposition, and it's this calling out of hypocrisy that was common at the time, but it's common still, and I think it's probably always been common. And I think if even in these types of books we witness the importance of living out our callings well, we can go ahead and just understand that the world is looking at us for more than just work. Your family is your testimony. Your relationships to those that you know is your testimony. And the church, the body of Christ, who we're supposed to consider our brothers and sisters in Christ, again, this is our testimony. This is the evidence of who we are in Christ. If we have been redeemed, if we have been brought under into sonship, are we living like it? Are we living like we care for these people the way we would care for our family? Are we caring for our family the way that we would want to care for others? And it's a weird thing, because it's not normally that you have to kind of reverse this concept. Normally it's like the basic Bible premise of do unto others as you would have done to you. But at the same time, this is a really weird vulnerability that we see with people who have the opportunity to do things outwardly. And everyone, I would just say everyone in American society has the ability to do something outwardly, even in very impoverished places. There's still this opportunity, weirdly enough, to be viewed as a giver instead of a receiver. And so we have to kind of deal with the reality that we are often faced with what people are seeing, and then what people don't quite see but we know is happening, and then what people can see that we pretend isn't there. So I just wanted to tell the mom I met and the moms that I have met who always say they wish they could do more, you doing your job well makes my job obsolete. Parents caring for their children, communities taking account for one another, keeping watch for your loved ones, that imperative responsibility leaves very little room for the tragic circumstances that I and my colleagues encounter daily. And it's meaningful. You're doing incredible things, and you are building up the next generation. You are building up the body of Christ by being present in your role as a parent. And I think it's really important to just note that the enemy is looking to create vulnerabilities, is looking to steal, to kill, to destroy, right? And the family system is always a target of this. So we look at verses like Ephesians 6:11-12, and it says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." And we remind our friends and neighbors that being a good parent is a calling in and of itself. You're not doing less. You are doing exactly what you are called to do. And I'm always thrilled to have parents as volunteers. But the amount of times that I have heard, "I feel so bad because I can't because I have kids or obligations," it's like, please stop apologizing. I am so grateful. And everyone, I have so many clients who are so thankful when they encounter loving families. It's life-changing. You're doing incredible work. So all the vulnerabilities that we're talking about, all of these things that the church is called to address, orphaned, widow, displaced, these things, you are already intervening by walking out the responsibility and the joy you've been given in your children. So, shout out to you, still carrying a little bit of jealousy while holding on to the hope that God has amazing plans. And if you are looking for some moms or dads in a similar position that want to talk about calling or anything like that, please feel free to talk about it on the Dearly Deeply Burdened podcast Facebook group. You can find it through the Empty Frames Initiative Facebook group. And we'd love to keep this conversation going. If you just want some encouragement, we'd love to talk to you about it. But you're amazing, and we're thankful for you. And we will always want to point back to the amazing privilege it is to be a family. So I have been forgetting to share the resources at the end of the episodes. Shout out to the organic nature of this pilot season. So I'm going to share three today. I'm going to first share Ephesians 6. I would encourage you to get into that, read more on the read more about putting on the whole armor of God. I'm going to encourage you to read Sacred Tears by Lindsay Wheeler, who is a mom sharing some verses and encouragements during a difficult season. And listen to the song Long Way Home by Stephen Curtis Chapman. Thank you guys. Excited to talk again soon. Bye. Thank you.